The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, you're listening to Millennial Musings. My name is Donovan Carroll. This is my debut show, and we will be talking about history, politics, religion, current events, that sort of interesting, fun stuff. And today, we're going to dive right in to the cesspool that is college campuses. I am myself a university student, and before I even was enrolled in university, I was sent to a sensitivity training course where I learned all sorts of things about sex and consent and how homosexuality is completely normal and exactly the same as heterosexual couples. And I tell you that not to be, God forbid, homophobic, but because this is the norm. This is absolutely accepted, and to deviate from it, you'll find, is more or less suicide on your college campus. I'm saying this stuff because parents, students need to know what they're being thrust into. I personally have been screamed at and spit at because I had the audacity to say that we have two genders. Screamed at, spit at. You'll find a phrase known as microaggressions, which is indeed a mainstream thing on all college campuses. I was encouraged to go to a microaggression seminar. What is a microaggression? A microaggression is anything you say or do that could be construed as against marginalized groups. For example, where are you from? Where are you from? That's a microaggression. Where are you from? You see, because if I was to ask a African-American or an Indian or an Asian where they are from, I might be making assumptions. Or perhaps they don't want to reveal where they are from because they're embarrassed or something. I'm not really sure why I can't ask where people are from. Indeed, when you first meet someone on a college campus, you're supposed to ask what their preferred pronouns are. So, him, her, they. I never really understood they because it's only one person. But he, her, and they is a big one. Zed, Zim. I've had a lot of different classes. I'm a humanities major, of course. Makes me a little hypocritical. I study history and political science. So I'm essentially majoring in unemployment. That's what I've been told. Anyways, my professors say lots of fun things. Go to this privilege seminar. Because I'm a straight white male, I have all sorts of privilege. Yes. You know, the only scholarship for white males exclusively was by Milo Yiannopoulos. It was called the Privilege Grant. It was pretty funny stuff. 30,000 people applied. A good deal. I believe white men get only 20% of scholarships, but make up around over 40% of a student body, I think. I'm fairly certain on that. I've been told by professors that early Western philosophers such as St. Thomas Aquinas, great Christian theologian, great Christian philosopher. Fun fact, he was pro-choice. Yes, she used the word pro-choice because obviously they had a pro-life and pro-choice argument back then. I've been told that St. Paul, who wrote, you know, half the New Testament, had communist tendencies. He was a communist. Good to know. I've been told to go to this microaggression seminar, which I've already covered. So another big thing that we send our children into, this stuff, again, is around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you're at college, this stuff is normal. And I know it probably doesn't even seem that bad yet, or maybe you embrace that sort of thing, and that's fine. I'd like you to keep listening, even if you embrace that sort of thing. If your viewpoint is that we should ask someone their preferred pronouns, please keep listening. I found this thing called the vagina monologue. Now, if you have children listening or you don't really want to be talking about sex, perhaps maybe turn the volume down because it gets kind of explicit. I won't get too explicit, but this is mainstream on a college campus. This is what's put on your posters in the hallway to advertise for this sort of thing. The vagina monologues are more or less a play about female empowerment, feminism. It's very rooted in modern-day feminism, fourth-wave feminism, I think it's called. Sex, sex work, body image, love, rape, menstruation, female genital mutilation, masturbation, birth, and orgasm are all topics within the vagina monologues. There's 12 of these monologues. My university actually hosted these monologues right next to the gender studies department. They advertise it because gender studies is a valuable major that after 5 years of having a gender studies degree, the average income is $15,000, but I don't want to be sexist. A name of one of these 12 monologues is called Reclaiming C-U-N-T. Obviously, they don't spell it out. But reclaiming that, that's the name of this monologue that they play on college campuses that your university pays for. Your university pays for this to bring it out. We're told that it should be a normal word. There's nothing wrong with the female anatomy. That should just be a word that's embraced. Another one is called Because He Liked to Look at It. A woman was self-conscious about her female anatomy until one of her boyfriends decided to just look at it a lot. And that's it. That's one of the plays. And then there's a play about pubic hair. So lots of good stuff going on in the vagina monologue that universities bring out tours across the country. At my university, the Gender Studies Facebook page actually posts a thing from a news outlet called Bitch Media. I didn't know that was an academic news source. Huffington Post, that's another good one. Another nice, credible thing, Huffington Post. They got all sorts of psychologists over there that talk about the effects of gender and climate change. How bisexuals are affected by climate change, really, is how it would be. I have personally been flashed while walking down the street. I did not know this woman. It was during a frat party. Now, to give her the benefit of the doubt, I'm sure that happens all the time. That's not just a thing on college campuses, but it happens a lot on college campuses. A lot. Too much. One of the fraternities at my university had a shirt called We Hold Up the Tautas. It was breast cancer fundraising. Classy. Very classy. You know, it just goes to show how childish these people who are at university are. University is supposed to be this bastion of intellectuality. When I went to university, I knew that there was going to be a lot of this stuff. I didn't know I was going to drown in it, right? But I knew there was going to be a lot of this stuff. And it's just unreal, you know? You think of the sort of classical university where you go and you make yourself a better person and you're incredibly challenged. You know, you're up all night, you're upset because you've been trying to comprehend this astronomy paper for 5 hours. I'm speaking from experience. I wish I did more of that. It was awful. It was a terrible experience, but I learned. I learned how to think. I learned things. It was good. It was cool. I go and I'm expected to be challenged. Another thing these universities do is they have safe spaces, right? Safe spaces. So if someone says something that you don't like or you don't agree with, they can go to their safe spaces where there's Play-Doh and crayons. You know, and I'm not making this up. Brown University, an Ivy League school, Brown University, there was a debate there about rape culture on college campuses, and people were supposedly so traumatized that Brown University set up a Play-Doh, crayons, and puppies room for college students. People aged 18 to 23 needed Play-Doh and puppies and crayons because of a debate about rape culture, which, by the way, rape culture doesn't exist, but I'll get to that later. Back to my own experience. I was walking down the street with a good friend of mine who was visiting from another university. He studies math, so something challenging. He's in the STEM field, not like me. I study history and political science, so my life's easy. His is not. He studies math. But anyways, a girl grabbed onto my friend while we were walking around campus. It was about 11 p.m. on a Friday night. I just wanted to show him around. He had just gotten there. She was drunk out of her mind, and she just grabbed onto him and started pulling him and said how much she wanted to F him. Let's reverse the roles there. Nowadays, if a man had done that, would it have been acceptable on a college campus? No. That would have been sexual assault. He probably would have been expelled without due process, because that's been happening a lot lately. So I go to a secular college, and this stuff's normal. This stuff happens every night. And all the examples I've given about my professor saying all those ridiculous things, microaggressions being screamed at, the sensitivity training, the gender studies department, that's all mainstream. You're going to find that at every university. Every university, the sexual culture, it's going to be there no matter what. I can go to my school's health center and get 5 free condoms. Or I can go to the gender studies department. They usually hand them out too because sex is empowering. Sex with whoever you want is empowering. You have control over your own body. It's very good for you, I guess. So maybe things are better at Christian colleges. If you're a Christian listening and you want to go to a Christian college, or you want to send your child to a Christian college, or you have plans to go to a Christian college, maybe things are better. I wrote a thing for Catholic365.com, a cool Catholic news source that anyone can write to, and it's just got some good dialogues and good commentaries by lay people and some priests. But so the University of Arizona, which of course is not a religious institution, but they hired $10 an hour to report microaggressions. We went over microaggressions. So What this does then is it stifles much needed dialogue about abortion, about rape culture, about whatever, microaggressions. And speaking on that again, if I'm at university and someone were to say something just atrocious, something ridiculously stupid, like the Holocaust was a good thing, we should have another one, I don't think they should be silenced. This might not be something that is agreeable, but they should not be silenced, people like that. We're at university, we're there to exchange ideas, even if this guy has an objectively wrong idea, even if his idea is terrible, even if a professor were to say that a Catholic saint was pro-choice from 900 years ago, 800 years ago, something outlandish like that. I think it should be allowed to be said, and I think there should be open exchange of ideas and dialogue, and I think your viewpoint should be challenged. Of course, we all know the Holocaust was bad, obviously, but if someone were to say something else, they have the right to say that, of course, especially on a college campus, where they should be refuted by like-minded individuals who want to refute them. So with the Christian colleges, microaggressions are on Christian colleges as well. The Cardinal Newman Society published a report linking a number of Catholic universities suggesting internships to Planned Parenthood. Georgetown University agreed to cover up religious symbols when Barack Obama agreed to speak. Georgetown University also allowed Cecil Richards to speak, who is the president of Planned Parenthood, and she got a standing ovation. Fun fact. Georgetown is a Catholic college, or it's supposed to be. It's run by Jesuits, so it can't be much of a surprise. A Notre Dame professor, which obviously Notre Dame's a Catholic college, we all Notre Dame, he argues in favor of abortion in specific cases. Notre Dame also gave Obama an honorary law degree, despite the fact that Barack Obama opposed the Born Alive Infant Protection Act in the state of Illinois 3 times, which would have allowed infants who survived botched abortions to get care. But no, he opposed it. And if a child was born alive from an abortion, you just stick it in a closet, it'll die eventually. Maybe pull a partial birth abortion kind of behavior and stick scissors in its neck, something like that. Obama supported that, no big deal. But he got an honorary law degree from a Catholic university. Fordham University, a Jesuit university, banned a Chick-fil-A after the gay club. I'm not being mean, it really is a gay club. The GLGBTQSA club on campus protested. It's called the Rainbow Alliance. A paper known as the Daily Cow, run out of UC Berkeley, featured a podcast made exclusively of noises from students masturbating and having sex. It's very classy. Another thing universities tout, Christian colleges and secular colleges alike, rape culture. Joe Biden, in 2014, said 1 in 5 women in her college years will be assaulted. This is not true. This is not true. This is fear-mongering. Prager University, great outlet run by Dennis Prager, they did a video on this. Are 1 in 5 women really sexually assaulted? No, of course not. This just turns women into victims. This just gives that feminism, PC bullcrap more ammo, right? It gives a reason for the ridiculous gender studies departments that people spend millions on, which I personally think are a waste of money. I would like to cut out the couple million they spend on the gender studies departments and just decrease my tuition because they're worthless. I said this earlier in the podcast. You make $15,000 a year, roughly, after 5 years of having a gender studies degree. And that's according to the NC Tower, the North Carolina Tower, which is a kind of a database for community colleges in North Carolina. So where does this 1 in 5 statistic come from? It comes from an internet survey. The surveys were anonymous. No claims were verified. Terms of sexual assault are not defined. The sample pool was around 5,000 women. The authors determined that 1,000 women had been victims of unwanted sexual assault or rape. And this is something that gender studies departments say. Academic institutions take this survey as fact. It's kind of embarrassing. This is, again, mainstream. All colleges do this. And by the way, terms of sexual assault not defined. People, regret is not rape. I'm sorry, but college university students seem to think it is. Regret is not rape. Silence is not consent. All sorts of strange things. Consent must be ongoing and continuous during the sexual actions. All sorts of things that universities tout into people. Now, according to this PragerU video, roughly 1 in 52.6 women will be victims of rape or sexual assault, according to the FBI. Those numbers are still too high. Rape is an abhorrent crime. No one's saying it's not. But what I'm saying is don't scare your young women and turn them into believing they're oppressed or something like that. I'm not sure what the goal is in saying 1 in 5 women get raped on college campus. I've heard 1 in 4, but the PragerU video cited the Joe Biden thing in 2014 saying 1 in 5. But the kicker is, would you send your daughter to a place for 4 years if there was a chance, if there's a 20% chance she would be raped? I wouldn't. And you know, after reading all this, I'd have a hard time sending my son or daughter to a public university in general. just in general, I'd have to make sure that their morals were on point before I were to send them to a public university. The University of Texas, April of this year, a young man committed suicide after being denied due process. He was essentially expelled without any evidence. Someone accused him of rape. He was expelled without evidence, expelled without due process. The university did their own little investigation, decided to expel him more or less on the spot. This happens all the time. You can look it up. A great website for this sort of thing where colleges, you can see them for the cesspools that they are, is campusreform.org. It's a great website. PragerU does great videos about culture. They have a couple other ones about colleges. So the reason I'm saying all this stuff is I'm not saying don't go to university. I love my experience at university. I've learned a lot. I've become a better man. I've grown in my faith. I've grown in intellectually. I'm saying this because you need to go into university open-minded, but also closed-minded. You need to remember that these people are trying to fundamentally change your morals, fundamentally change who you are. These people are there partly to bring you down, and they don't know they're bringing you down. They think they help you when they shout pansexuality forever. They think they're helping you, and they think they're making you more sensitive to that, but it doesn't work. They think they help you when they stem free speech in college campuses. In California, one university was blocked from handing out constitutions on Constitution Day. Now, that doesn't happen at the university I go to, but it could. It wouldn't surprise me. Nothing that happens on a university shocks me at this point. I've seen a lot, and I've read a lot about it. What I'm saying is, if you're going to a university, you have to be prepared. 24 hours a day, people are going to be shoving alcohol, sex, drugs down your throat. They're going to be shoving this feminist ideology that you're going to be raped, and that the male patriarchy, this imaginary force that oppresses women. They're going to be saying that Christianity's evil. Thomas Aquinas was pro-choice. St. Paul was a communist. Marxism is morally superior to capitalism. All these things are things I've heard. Marxism is more superior to capitalism. You can't have this opinion. You're not allowed to state things about Islam. For example, I once said in a classroom that I didn't think certain aspects of Islam, fundamentalist Islam, that we get out of Saudi Arabia or some of those Wahhabist countries in the Middle East, I once said that a lot of those countries are in, the way they view women is incompatible with the West. We saw this in Cologne, Germany, a couple of years ago on New Year's, where there was a couple hundred rapes in one night. It might have been a couple thousand, I can't remember. But I once said that the way they view women is incompatible with the West. And my professor almost kicked me out. He was mad at me. And that's not what university should be. University should be a place for ideas where they're challenged. Now, if my professor would have said, I think you're wrong, here's why Islam is compatible with the West, and he would have presented solid evidence in a sound manner, I might have said, okay, I was wrong. But I'm not going to say, okay, I was wrong, because all he did was get angry with me. And students turned, their heads turned. They couldn't believe someone said something so politically incorrect. It blew my mind. So, in future shows, I'll be talking a lot about college life, stuff I learned in college. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Things are winding down. I'm hoping to release one every month, so stay tuned. If things go well, maybe bi-monthly. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, college sucks, but it doesn't have to.